On Friday, Jesus died. He had been laid in a new tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea. The women who had followed him from Galilee, the only disciples who did not flee or hide, went with Joseph and saw where Jesus was buried. But because the Sabbath was beginning, they went home. They prepared spices and ointments, and they waited. We pick up the story at dawn on Sunday. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's been less than 48 hours since Jesus' brutal and untimely death, which all of these women witnessed. In every gospel account, there are women at the cross with Jesus, even when the rest of the disciples have gone. Mary and Joanna and the rest are, to impose a modern concept on an ancient text, operating in crisis brain. They have the tunnel vision of trauma. Together, they are concerned with the next thing. Do we have the spices and oils? Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance? When their crisis brain sees that the stone is already rolled away, they're not quite sure whether to be relieved or terrified. Has someone else gotten here before them? What's going on? Then they are confronted with two sparkly strangers in an empty tomb, telling them that the man they saw die, who they saw laid in this tomb, is alive and risen from the dead. It's a little much. It's a little overwhelming. They go to tell the disciples, but they're immediately dismissed as idle tales, except for Peter, who runs to go and see what they have seen. He's amazed, but he too just goes home. One of the gifts of this particular telling of the resurrection story is God's acknowledgement that resurrection will not always be met with unbridled joy. Sometimes new life, new things will be met with skepticism, as we see with the disciples. There's no way, they say. It's not possible. Sometimes resurrection will be met with fear and trembling, because this is not usually how the world works. What else could have changed overnight? Sometimes an empty tomb will be met with this strange mix of terror and amazement, and it just takes a little while to process. The mixed reactions in this story remind us that there is no rewind button. These disciples can't go back in time and undo the grief, the fear, the suffering, the betrayal of Friday. They can't rewind and try again and hope for a different outcome. The only way out of all this is through. Through the tomb, through the confusion of Easter morning, and then into new resurrection life. In the same way, we cannot go backwards. We cannot undo what has already happened, for better or for worse. We don't get to go back to never worrying about COVID. We can't return to the time before nuclear weapons existed. We can't simply undo broken trust or hurtful words or great loss. But Jesus shows us that there is always the possibility of healing and new life. But it can only be found by going forward, not backward. The future, new and unknown, is always a little uncertain and unscary. But the story of Easter tells us that it's also beautiful and amazing. These women thought they were just going to do one last good thing for their friend and teacher, one last act of faithfulness. Instead, they encounter this good news, and they turn into the first baffled, joyous preachers of resurrection, of new life, of a different kind of world. In this new life, nothing ultimately trumps God's unending love and care and provision. Not sin, no matter how large or how small. Not pain, physical or emotional. Not loneliness, not shame from the past or fear of the future. Death itself is no longer the final word in God's story and in ours. But I think the very best part of this kind of new life is that absolutely nothing depends on us to accomplish it. Judas betrayed Jesus to a violent empire. Peter denied knowing the man 3 times. The rest of the 12 scattered and hid in locked rooms and didn't even believe that resurrection was possible, but still Jesus rose. Resurrection, both the capital R, eternal kind of resurrection, and the 1,000 small r resurrections we see every day. This is 1,000% God's work in our lives and in the world. And sometimes it happens even in spite of us. The tomb is empty every Easter. The tomb is empty every morning, whether we are ready or not. There's a poet, novelist, farmer, and environmental activist named Wendell Berry, who wrote one of my all-time favorite poems, published in 1973, titled Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. The first part of the poem goes like this. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. Want more of everything ready-made. Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So, friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. The poem ends. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. In baptism, by God's grace, we are united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. This ancient story is now our own story of resurrection and renewal, of healing and hope, of sending and caring and justice and peace. Every day, we are called upon to practice resurrection by embracing all the possibilities of God's work within us and among us and through us. Friends, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Believe this good news and live in its peace. Amen.